What is the person? What is the thing? What is the idea? What is the goal that I've put at the center of my life? And everything else revolves around that. We are in the final week of our series, Open Doors. Next week, we start a series called Closing Loopholes. But in our final week of Open Doors, we want to talk about a wealthy person who decided to invite Jesus into his life. He decided to put Jesus at the center of his life, and the result is that his very life changed. So if you're here today and you're a spiritual explorer or a spiritual skeptic, I hope that you will consider doing the same thing, inviting Jesus into your life, that your very life might change. And if you're a follower of Christ today, my hope is that you are eager for Jesus Christ to change your life. Instead of hoping that you'll just basically stay the same, just with the assurance that God loves you and maybe get some good morals for your family, I hope that instead of that, you want Jesus to really change your life. So let's dive in together here on our final week of the Open Doors series. In the Open Doors series, we have had one major question, and the question is, how will you respond to Jesus? How will you respond to Jesus? Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock." I always make that sound effect to help you. "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, and they with me." You notice that Jesus is making a personal invitation. It's an invitation to relationship. "I will come in and eat with them, and they with me." It's not an impersonal invitation, not an invitation to an idea or a way of thinking. It's an invitation of a person to a relationship. "I will come in and eat." How will you respond to Jesus? We've said that the spiritual life is like standing in a circular room, and along the outside of that room, there are uncountably many doors, all of them wide open except for one. There's one closed door. And you can walk in and out of all the open doors that you want. There are a lot of spiritual paths out there, and most of them offer no resistance. But as you wander in and out of all these spiritual options, all these open doors, you can't help but look back at the one closed door. And as you listen, you start to hear this faint knock. And once you begin to hear it, you can't get it out of your head. Someone is knocking on that door, and you can't get the rap, rap, rapping on it out of your head. For a little while, you might think you're going crazy. There are all these open doors around you, and yet on the other side of the one closed door, someone is pursuing you. Someone is knocking. Someone is enticing you to answer. What would happen if you opened that door? What would happen, spiritual explorer, if you opened the door of your life and invited Jesus Christ in? What would happen, follower of Christ, if you opened that door and invited Jesus Christ into a new area of your life? Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." If you want to follow along this morning, we'll be in Luke chapter 19. So you can feel free to turn there in your Bible, whether that's on your phone or in your lap. If you don't have a Bible, you can feel free to use the one beside you. And if you don't have a Bible at your house or dorm room, you can take that one home and it's yours. The Bible allows God to speak for himself. So in Jericho, in Luke chapter 19, in Jericho there's a very short man. Now I don't sympathize with him, but there's a very short man, and his name is Zacchaeus. And for some reason, Zacchaeus is happy to be a tax collector for the Roman government. As you know, the Roman Empire was really big, and they would take over places, and then they would impose taxes, and they'd get the locals to tax their own people. And so Zacchaeus was one of these local people who worked for the Romans taxing his own people. He made a nice living. He would occasionally price gouge his own people, and he could do it because he had the backing of the superpower of the ancient world. So Zacchaeus is not a very popular man in the area of Jericho, but he had risen to the position of chief tax collector, which allowed him to pile even more money on his piles of money that he already had. Now, sure, most people in Jericho hated him, but we can imagine the feeling was mutual. Then one day, Zacchaeus overheard the news that was sweeping the town. Jesus, renowned teacher and miracle man who was claiming to be God, that Jesus was coming through town. And for some reason, Jesus piqued Zacchaeus' interest. He was very curious to know more. And this is where the biblical account picks up, and we get to watch Zacchaeus' response to Jesus. And we're going to watch as Zacchaeus' curiosity turns into a changed life. He's going to move from curiosity to a changed life. Curiosity about Jesus into a life changed by Jesus. Zacchaeus' first response is, as we've said, curiosity. He has to see Jesus. He has to know more. It doesn't seem like he's super interested to make a big commitment, but he's willing to interrupt his life long enough to see Jesus. We could define curiosity then as having to know more while preferring to stay anonymous. Curiosity is having to know more while preferring to stay anonymous. People have tried to discourage curiosity by circulating a story that supposedly it has killed a cat of some sort. The truth is that curiosity is generally a good thing. It can be a very useful way to respond to Jesus. Spiritually speaking, curiosity is what drives us to peek into any number of those open doors along the edge of the room. And it's curiosity that keeps us going back to the one closed door. Curiosity keeps us going back to that door on which we hear the rap, rap, rap. Curiosity can be a good thing, but as we saw in our sketch earlier, curiosity has its limits. We can only be curious about something to a point. As the super sleuth said, well, I'm curious, but not that curious. Curiosity can be a fine spiritual approach. But again, curiosity has limits. Curiosity can avoid commitment. It can cling to anonymity too strong for too long. As our sketch earlier made clear, curiosity prefers to ask questions. Curiosity prefers to stay on the surface. Curiosity cannot take us into the deep mysteries of God, because curiosity likes to stay at the surface. Curiosity likes to ask questions. So curiosity is a great thing, but it has its limits. It is a great thing to a point. I'm curious, but I'm not that curious. Now Zacchaeus is curious. Maybe some of you today are curious. You need to know more about Jesus. And so Zacchaeus makes his way to see Jesus, but he realizes something terrible. It is the fear of every kid at a parade. He can't see anything. People are crowding together. There is no place for Zacchaeus to stand. He certainly will not catch any candy, and no one is going to go out of their way to accommodate Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus is curious. He's very curious. And so he looks, he has to see Jesus, and as he wants to know more, he's looking along the expected route, and he realizes there's a tree. There's a sycamore fig tree. Now that would give him a way to see Jesus, but there's a problem. Kids are supposed to climb trees. Climbing trees would seem a little bit beneath a wealthy IRS agent. But that's how curious Zacchaeus is. He's not afraid to climb that tree. He has to see Jesus. He is deeply, deeply curious. But once in the sycamore fig tree, I imagine that Zacchaeus noticed something, or maybe he already knew this was going to be the case. But he noticed that because of the thickness of the tree's leaves, as you can see in that beautiful picture of a sycamore fig tree, he noticed that because of the thickness of the tree's leaves, it was far easier for him to see out than it was for other people to see in. It would be very possible to be unrecognized in a tree like that. This was, I imagine, the limit of Zacchaeus' curiosity. in the sycamore fig tree, whether it was intentional or unintentional, he could see Jesus without a whole lot of people realizing that he was looking. He could see Jesus, and a whole lot of people didn't even have to know he was looking. He could be curious without having to make too big of a commitment. I imagine some of us can sympathize with that. We like to be in a room of this size so that we can be curious about Jesus without a whole lot of people having to know that we are looking. If someone asks you about it, you can just say, well, I came to check it out. But then it all changes for Zacchaeus. Because as Jesus and the crowd are walking by the tree, Jesus stops. He stops right at the tree. And the crowd is a little confused, as is the man sitting up in the tree. Why'd he stop? They start asking. What's he looking at? He's looking at that tree. Why is he looking at that tree? There's a guy up in that tree. And as the crowd is beginning to ask these questions, and right as they begin to ask who it is up in the tree, Jesus' words come as the answer. Zacchaeus. And the man in the tree freezes as someone he had never met in his whole life just called him by name. He didn't know Jesus, but apparently Jesus knew him, or had seen him, or had made him. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I'm coming to your house for dinner. What Jesus said to Zacchaeus rubbed me the wrong way for years. My parents taught me better than to invite myself over for dinner. Or if I was inviting myself over, I should at least play it cool and act like I wasn't. In my current job, that means calling it a pastoral visit. Why in the world did Jesus invite himself over for dinner? Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me. Throughout the Bible, the home is a symbol of your life. One of the most popular biblical symbols for your life is your home. And we still have that sense today. When we invite someone into our home, we are inviting that person into our lives, into our messes, into our memories, into our mundane. We are inviting that person into all that makes you, you. What Jesus says to Zacchaeus is the same thing he says in Revelation 3. I want to come into your life. But with Zacchaeus, Jesus shows a little edge. He doesn't ask Zacchaeus whether or not he wants him to come into his life. He says, I'm here and I want in. The Bible tells us that Zacchaeus gladly accepts. When Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house, implying, Zacchaeus, I'm coming into your life, Zacchaeus says, that would be great. Jesus has called him from his curiosity into something greater. Zacchaeus moves beyond curiosity when Jesus calls him out of anonymity and says that he is coming into his life. He moves beyond curiosity when Jesus calls him out of anonymity. He can't just be a face in the crowd anymore. He can't just hide in the tree anymore. He can't get lost in the shuffle anymore. He calls him by name and calls him out of anonymity and says, I'm coming into your life. The truth is, Jesus still does this today. He regularly calls people out of anonymity, calls them out of being anonymous, just another face in the crowd. He continues to knock on the door and he says, let me into your life. Now you may be here today and you're curious about Jesus. And as I said earlier, you may enjoy the anonymity of this setting. You can see Jesus without a whole lot of people having to know that you are looking. And if anybody ever thought you were looking, you could come up with a quick excuse as to, no, you just had to be here for some other reason. Now let's be frank about one thing. God knows that you are looking. God knows that you are looking. God loves that you are looking. You are not a footnote to God. You are not just another number to God. God knows you by name. He knows your messes. He knows your memories. He knows your mundane. He knows all that makes you, you. He sees you looking, and he says that there's no reason to hide from me. There's no reason to pretend you can see me, but I can't see you. What would happen if God called you by name? What would happen if you opened yourself to the possibility that sometimes God speaks directly to you through the people and the events of your life? What if you were willing to call God by name? What if you would be willing to continue your spiritual search in conversation with God? God knows you, spiritual explorer, and God knows that you are looking. And he says to you, I'm at the door of your life, and I'm knocking. Let me in. And from that moment on, we will live on this earth and after this earth as friends. Now, sometimes we mislead ourselves about what it would mean to invite Jesus Christ into our lives. We convince ourselves we can explore every opportunity, we can explore every open door, and then after we've explored everything to its fullest extent, after we've weighed all the options in front of us, then we'll decide which of these teams is lucky enough to have us on the team. It's sort of the LeBron James version of spirituality. But this is not what happened to Zacchaeus. It's generally not what happens to us. The truth is, you cannot fully explore every open door, because you only have a limited amount of time on this earth. Plus, inviting Christ into your life is like any other friendship. You will only discover the depth of that relationship once you have committed to it. A friendship with Christ is much like any other friendship, or marriage, or any relationship of any importance. You will only find the real depth of that relationship once you have committed to it. Someone keeps knocking on the one closed door. Someone wants into your life. Someone wants to be the center of your life. The one who's at the center of the universe wants to be at the center of your life. And then everything else will revolve around him. That's how he made you to live. That's how he made life to be lived. That's what he wants for you. Jesus says to you, if you're a spiritual explorer or a spiritual skeptic, he says to you the same thing he said to Zacchaeus, invite me into your life. I've been knocking and you can only ignore me so long. All other choices and open doors will make sense once you have me at the center. In that moment when Jesus invited himself over for dinner, Zacchaeus did not have time to investigate all other options completely. He knew he had to say yes or no. He had to get down out of the tree, or he had to kind of scrunch down and pretend he wasn't there. Again, this is not to say it's wrong to investigate things. It's good to investigate things. It's good to understand all the options that are out there, to know that this and that and the other. That's good stuff. But where we can kid ourselves in open doors is we wander in and out of open doors for so long, and we forget there really does come a time you have to make a decision. You can't just wander in and out all day, your whole life. There does come a time when you have to make a decision. And for Zacchaeus, it was when Jesus said, I'm coming into your life. And he had to say yes or no. And it would have been much harder to say no than yes, the way Jesus phrased it. So with joy, Zacchaeus got out of the tree and welcomed Jesus into his life. That leads me to the question that I want to leave with you, if you're a spiritual skeptic or a spiritual explorer here today. If you're here but you're not a Christian, first you should know you're always welcomed here. And if you ever feel unwelcomed, you should come and tell me why, because I would take that more seriously than you realize. But if you're here today and you're not a Christian, my question to you is this: is it time for you to start a conversation with God? or to open the door of your life to Jesus. That's two different options. Is it time for you to start a conversation with God or to open the door of your life to Jesus? Again, how did Zacchaeus move from his curiosity to a changed life? Jesus said he couldn't be anonymous anymore. Jesus called him by name. He called him into conversation. And he said he was coming into his life. He said, Zacchaeus, I see you. You don't have to pretend that I don't see you. If you're here on a spiritual quest this morning, I would encourage you to continue that quest, but to continue it as a two-way relationship, a two-way conversation with God. God knows that you're looking. God knows that you're investigating. You don't have to pretend otherwise. I would encourage you to be more intentional about talking to God in prayer. If you don't know much about prayer, I'll give you just a couple pointers. When you pray, you don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to say the right words. When you pray, you just have to talk with God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is talking with God. It's nothing more than that, and it's nothing less than that. It's talking to God. As you talk to God in prayer, let Him speak to you through the Bible or through conversations with Christian friends. For 9 weeks now, we've been studying the life of Jesus. So maybe you'd like to read the book of John. It's in the Bible that's in your chair. The table of contents can help you get there, as can someone who's sitting around you. But the book of John would help you get a better grasp of who Jesus is and who God is, who the Holy Spirit is. And so if that's kind of where you are, you're ready for a two-way conversation with God, I'd encourage you to just take the Bible beside you and read through the book of John. And if you jot that down on your prayer card, we could pray for you as you read through John, and we'd also know to get another Bible for the next person who will read through John. Starting a two-way conversation would be a great step for some of you because it would call you out of being anonymous. You couldn't just be a face in the God crowd anymore. But for some of you, I think another step would be in order. That next step is time for you to follow Zacchaeus in joyfully opening the door of your life and inviting Jesus Christ in. It's time for you to bring Him in. It's time for you to bring Jesus Christ into the center of your life so that He can connect you with God, so that you and God can live as friends both now and forever. You can let Him change you. You can ask Him to change you and then to change some corner of the world through you. You're not a Christian because you go to church or you try to be good or some relative of yours was a pastor one time. You become a Christian by committing your life to the God you trust. You become a Christian by committing your life to the God you trust. You invite Jesus Christ into your life. You open the door of your life and you invite Him in and you put Him at the center of your life. You say, I commit my life, I commit what I know of me to you. I trust you to make something of my life. And that may be a step some of us need to take today. We've been wandering in and out of the open doors long enough thinking, I'll just keep investigating and somehow, sometime, I'll be done. And there does come a time when, as Zacchaeus learned, you have to say, all right, you can come to my house. You can come into my life. Or you just scrunch down in the tree and hope He doesn't see you. But Jesus' goal is not simply being a part of people's lives. As we see in Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus, when Jesus comes into your life, when you put Him at the center, your life actually starts to change. Zacchaeus didn't want Jesus in his life. Zacchaeus wanted Jesus to change his life. I have friends whose lives were built around their own success or their academic strength or their children. I had one friend whose life was built around cocaine. And when they invited Jesus into their lives and when they invited Jesus into the center of their lives, it was hard. It was hard because the thing at the center didn't want to give up being at the center. Sometimes we can be afraid about what we will have to do or who we will become if Jesus is at the center of our lives. Before images of televangelists start dancing in your head, let's look back to Zacchaeus and see how he responded to Jesus. What did his changed life look like? Well, the people in Jericho were scoffing because Zacchaeus was taking Jesus into his house. Zacchaeus had opened the door of his life to Jesus, and the people were not keen on this. So Zacchaeus wanted everyone to know that this was not a stunt. It was not a gimmick. It was not a get-out-of-hell-free card. It was not court-ordered community service where he would do just enough and get everybody else off his back. He is really inviting Jesus into the center of his life. He's not just curious. He wants Jesus to change his life. And so as evidence of a changed life, Zacchaeus says, look, if I've cheated anybody, I will pay them back four times the amount. And then he says, and I'm going to give half my money away to the poor. That is radical. That is generous. That is a changed life. And I bet the folks in Jericho had a hard time debating that. It's one thing for Zacchaeus to say, yeah, I'm a Christian now, so you can get off my back. I'm different. It is another thing altogether for Zacchaeus to say, because I've committed my life to Christ, I just gave half of my money to the poor. Especially when you consider how important wealth was to the old Zacchaeus, you would be stunned by the change that following Jesus had made in the new Zacchaeus. In Zacchaeus, we see the difference between opening our life to Jesus and committing our lives to Jesus. A changed life comes from inviting Jesus Christ into the center of my life. Inviting Christ into the center of my life so that everything revolves around him instead of me, or instead of that person or that goal or that idea or that thing. Everything revolves around Jesus. And that change will begin to play itself out in your thinking, in your emotions, but it will also find its way into your actions. And God is showing us through Zacchaeus that a changed life can take on at least two kinds of actions. There may be more, but Zacchaeus is showing us two. Zacchaeus makes amends for who he used to be, and then he's intentionally generous. Two kinds of actions: making amends for who I used to be, and being intentionally generous. I'll pay back four times the amount for anyone I've cheated, and I'm giving half of my money to the poor. I settle the debts of the old me, and I set new normals because I'm a new me. He repaid those he had cheated in the past, and in giving half of his possessions to the poor, he set a new and a generous course for his life following Jesus. Christ is at the center of my life. Christ is changing me. Christ is making me more generous. Christ is making me more aware of how I've hurt people in my past. And because of that, making amends and being intentionally generous just begins to bubble up from within. So if you're a Christian here today, or if today is the day you want to decide to cross that line of faith and put your trust in God, I would encourage you to be like Zacchaeus. I would encourage you to make your life known through two kinds of actions. Whether you've been a Christian since Truman or starting today, I would encourage you to find a way to either make amends for who you used to be or to be intentionally generous. Make amends for who you used to be or to be intentionally generous. The truth is that we should apply these principles many, 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 many times in our lives. But I'm just asking you to do one of those two things just once over the next handful of weeks. To find a way to make amends for who you used to be, or to be intentionally generous. Maybe there's someone you need to say, I'm sorry to. Or maybe even better, as Zacchaeus did, you need to show that you're sorry. Maybe a relationship needs repair. Maybe a debt needs to be repaid. Maybe a note needs to be written. Maybe a call needs to be made. Or what would it mean for you to set a generous course for your life? Maybe it's for you, it's financial. Maybe you need to do almost what Zacchaeus did and write a big check to some ministry to the poor. People get queasy when I say things like that. Maybe you need to write it to a church. If you think that's self-serving for me to say, give it to another church. You don't have to give it to this church. I'll tell you some really good ones in this area, better than us. Maybe you need to be generous with your time. You can give sacrificially of your time to care for someone who's hurting, to care for the poor, to serve them, to sit with a struggling friend. You're always welcome to go to our info center and fill out a share card so that you can be part of making LFC Davidson happen. We try to be a compelling place for people who've given up on church, who haven't given up on God. I love that you're here. I'd love for you to feel like you're not just a person here, but actually a part of this. And volunteering your time is a way to do that. The truth is, you all are smarter and more creative than I am, and so you'll come up with better ways to do that. I'm just trying to jumpstart your thinking. But the underlying point, and what I don't want you to miss, is that a life following Jesus shows itself through two kinds of actions, at least two: making amends for who I used to be and being intentionally generous. I want you to experience life as God made it to be lived. And as you watch in the story of Zacchaeus, in a very short period of time, he moves from curiosity to living life as it was made to be lived. That doesn't mean you have to do it that fast. But you watch what happens. He invites Christ into his life. He puts him at the center, and then he says, I'm going to make amends for who I used to be, and I'm going to be intentionally generous. I'm setting a new course for my life. And that is how he finds life as it was made to be lived. That's what I want for you. I've always loved the story of Zacchaeus for that very reason. Jesus says at the end of the story today, salvation has come to this house. Salvation is a fancy word for healing. House is a metaphor for life. Today, salvation has come to this house. Could it also be translated today, healing has come to this life? And that then, out of that healthy, healed life, overflows generosity, overflows making amends. And I bet Jericho was a slightly different place after the end of Luke 19, verse 10. I want the corner of the world you're in to be a different place. And I think you are an important part in that. As you set a course for your life, I hope it's a generous course. That's how God says we'll really live. Him at the center, being intentionally generous, making amends for who we used to be. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this day, for creating us and giving us this day as a gift. Not something we've earned, not something we deserve, a gift. Lord, some of us came into this room curious about you and who you are, even if our parents forced us to be here, our kids forced us to be here, we came in curious. Some of us came in committed to you, but not quite ready to be changed. And some of us come Lord, I pray that you'd meet us where we are. If you're here today and you're not a Christian and the challenge to invite Christ into your life resonated with you, and you know that today is the day you should do that. You don't have to pray any magic prayer. You just say very simply, God, I trust you to bring healing into my life. I open my life to you. I invite you in, Jesus Christ. I commit my life to you. Help me make something of my life. I trust you to do that. And Lord, others of us need courage to set generous directions for our life. Will generosity, Lord, will it just bubble out of us? Bubble out of a healthy heart. You've been more than generous to us. I pray that generosity would flow out of us to others. And Lord, I ask specifically that you would give courage to people who need to make amends. To the person who's sitting here now wondering, should I really do the thing that you called to my mind? I ask that you would give him or her courage. Courage to be bold, to boldly make amends, and to live a generous life. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to have a time of response. You're welcome to sit and pray. You're welcome to stand and sing. We're also going to have our volunteers come and receive our offering, which is a way we give back to the God who's more than generous to us. But use this time of response as fitting for you.